5 is Corfu Village Planning Scheme Amendment C151 Social and Affordable Housing. Councillors, do I have a mover for this item? Councillor Delahunty, a seconder. Councillor Silver. Councillor Delahunty.
Hello, Councillor Silver. This item is both gut-wrenching and but reaffirms our commitment to delivering social and or affordable housing as a part of the Caulfield Village development. It means, however, that we are going to do it in a different way than we have previously pursued. So the background of this predates me by a number of years, Councillor McGee, four years before I was a baby. I was a baby when this first came about. So there was a high-level decision taken that as a part of the Caulfield Village development, some affordable or social housing would be provided. This was written down as a part of the zone change. It was enshrined in a way in which would not look very contemporary to us right now. Nonetheless, it left nobody wondering what should be provided as a part of that particular development. The permits that have come to us over time on that particular parcel of land, they've come to us in three different ways so far. At every point in that application process, Council has asked for the developer to nominate where the social and or affordable housing would be provided. At every part, the developer has not said that it won't be provided, but they have said that it will be provided in stage three. Some of us didn't think that that was a particularly elegant way of the provision of social and or affordable housing. It's certainly not a particularly contemporary way to do it. Obviously, it's usually salt and pepper through a development, especially one of that size. I think naively, and I've certainly learnt from this, I believed that the applicant, in good faith, was going to uphold the original ideals of that statement. And they have not, and they don't intend to. And so we have pursued them through the means which we thought was best. And this report really sets out that that's not going to be a successful pursuit. That does not in any way diminish our desire or ambition to have that provided, that social and or affordable housing provided as a part of that development. This is a development of massive proportions that sits on incredibly good transport routes, very close to the city, very well served by infrastructure, and people deserve to be able to live there of all sorts of different socioeconomic backgrounds. And it is absolutely outrageous and disgusting that someone would spend, a developer of this magnitude would spend so much money in VCAT fighting that very principle when it was written in there from the beginning. It is disgusting. But our resolve is not diminished, especially now that I can see that Councillor Silver joins me in seconding this recommendation. So the resolve is not only not diminished, it is strengthened and hopefully unanimously supported. The recommendation reaffirms our commitment that we will explore all possibilities to achieve the delivery of this form of housing as a part of that development. We won't back down, say we will not go quietly into the night, because this is actually our job. It's actually our job. And so we will undertake further strategic work to consider the most appropriate means of the provision of that housing, and we won't back away, and we won't be quiet about it, and I dare say we won't lose either. So I certainly endorse this report.
Thanks, Councillor Delahunty. Councillor Silver.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I did, I believe, speak originally on this motion in support of it for the amendment when it came to some time ago in the prehistoric age before the webcam. And again, my perspective has somewhat changed simply because once one has a proper explanation of what social affordable housing can be, it's a lot more saleable proposition than, let's say, the sort of unfortunate clustered housing estates we see, for example, in South Melbourne, which I think is not a good form of taking care of the needy because you make people feel isolated. But as Councillor Delahunty noted, this was written from the start, and in fact, the amendment objective, one of the objectives of Amendment C60 was the Corporate Village should provide affordable housing in the form of a social housing program. It's unfortunate that those words were not given the particular meaning at the time, and again, the government's done some more work on there, and again, as this motion makes clear, we'd be going forward and doing a bit more strategic work in that sphere. And that's a good thing. I think the social housing plan, which we'd be going forward with, I think that's the ultimate objective here, would give the community a say in what form of housing is required. There is a growing need, I would suggest, in the Glenara community from long-standing existing residents for these housing options, be it because they have a disability, because of old age, lack of learning capacity, want to stay in this area but cannot. Again, there is the need for that ready access public transport as well. Councillor Taylor always talks about key worker housing. I like disability housing more, but key worker housing is important as well. There can be some very important functions here. And it is frustrating, I think, that despite the clear articulation of this objective in the law, you would think that that is law, it hasn't been fulfilled. Because, as everybody here knows, I like the law a lot. And it's quite unfortunate to see when it's simply gone around. And it has been gone around here. And again, there are not so many of these super sites around. And if you are to provide for the needy in some form, these are the sites to do it on. And now there's perhaps one less. We've got East Village still. I don't think we have any, to be honest. If you look into some of the examples from overseas, they've dealt with the issue of housing affordability. Well, effectively, New York, I believe, has a fair bit of it, in fact. So we are a bit behind the eight ball, but as Councillor Huntie said, we do have resolve. The objective is not being abandoned. We're just approaching it somewhat of a different way. This way will probably bring the community along as well, and I suspect the next time this proposal is put forward, any developer going against it will find it a bit more difficult to contend with.
Thanks, Councillor Silver. Any other councillors wishing to speak against this particular item? Any other councillors wishing to speak on the item? Councillor McGee.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, just it's incumbent in all council laws and councils throughout Victoria to look at every opportunity to supply housing for all of its residents, everyone in Victoria, through social or affordable housing, through community-based housing, through any means possible to give people a safe, clean and habitable place to live. In the years to come, if I get bored enough and I actually write my memoirs, I certainly see C60 will go down as a dark time. We certainly, through C60, did not get what we thought we were getting. We thought we were getting a Caulfield Village that encapsulates everything that the group of nine councillors certainly wanted. And right from the very first day, we were talking about the possibility of having social and affordable housing in an area that was next to a major tram line, next to a major railway station, close to shops, close to university, and in the great city of Glenora. 2011 we started that, I think, I believe 2011 we started that journey. We're now 2018 and we're actually further away from it than we were in 2011. It is an item that is to be supported, yet every part of me says vote against it, because I almost feel like I'm backing down and saying, okay, we've conceded that we didn't have the structures in place to enforce it. But on the other hand, we're now some 7 years later putting those structures in place. We're dealing with an organisation who is very well versed and very well connected and very well financed to be able to go to VCAT and fight the amendments they want and what they want for their village. And it's not their village, it's our village, it's part of our city. To lock out in stages one and two what we all thought they agreed to, what we all waited for the announcement where, and we were hearing right from the start that the development rights had been sold off. It had nothing to do with the previous owner, which was the Melbourne Racing Club. And now we very much hear the Melbourne Racing Club's still the owner. still very much in charge, still very much dealing with the developer, and at some point in time will benefit greatly from the whole village, and including what will come eventually is the 20-story tower on what I call the stolen land. And we will no doubt speak about that again. But when you have an area that is, as I said, so close to all the amenities that we would all love to live next door to, and I certainly would, to actually say that we don't want social or affordable housing, and do we not want them because of the reduced cost we'll get? Are they saying we don't want them for the type of amenity impact that will bring? And to me, that's more of a disgraceful thought than the fact that they want to make a few extra dollars, and I've got no problems with them making a few extra dollars. As a council and as nine councillors, it is incumbent on us at every opportunity to try and find, even if it's just one apartment, one house, one flat, one opportunity for another family or another person to maybe get that bit of help they need to come and live and share this great city of Glenora, then we have to do that. And I know this will be affecting Councillor Delahunty's as much as it does me. This is not the way we wanted to fight this fight. This is not the way we thought this would go. But I can guarantee you, this fight is on.
Thanks, Councillor McGee. Any other councillors wishing to speak on this item? Councillor Taylor.
Right. Yes, I concur with my learned colleagues. Obviously, the amendment was seeking to apply mandatory requirements to the precinct to provide affordable housing, and obviously the existing controls haven't worked, which is extremely disappointing, but not because of a lack of goodwill or extensive effort on the part of the councillors here or the officers. And really, at the end of the day, it's a denial of the critical needs of the society in which we live. It's like you don't have to look very far to see the critical need in our society, whether it's victims of domestic violence, whether it's people who are homeless, whether it's people who are just battling, even those who are working who are battling to make ends meet. And I guess it's disappointing that people who had the power to do something honourable, to deliver a clear community benefit, something that's actually logical, have elected not to do so. So that is disappointing, but we won't give up. We will persist until. I also just want to make a qualification. When I was referring to, if I have referred to, which I have in the past, key workers, it is not to exclude people with disabilities.
I didn't mean to say.
No, that's all right. I just thought I should make that clear. That either way, where people are in need, then those needs should be addressed. And I was seeing a very famous person with disabilities, the late Stephen Hawkins. And so, arguably, we aren't going to typecast people in any way in this situation. So I'm just trying to keep it broad and to cover all sorts of situations that anyone can encounter in their life, no matter what. So, but I concur with my fellow councillors that we will take into account some other matters which are progressing at the moment. Hobson's Bay Amendment C88 and Fisherman's Bend Urban Renewal Area Draft Amendment, these GC81, these are matters in progress, and we will certainly take heed of the learnings from those particular matters insofar as they can also be applied and be relevant to our situation here in Glenora. And also, we will do what we have to do to make this right.
Thanks, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Schrade.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, you'll recall yesterday the two of us actually had the privilege of hosting a group of incredibly intelligent students sitting around this table in a mock debate around three issues, one of which was this item. And during that mock debate with very intelligent students, it occurred to me that this issue of social and affordable housing is one that's absolutely riddled with misunderstanding. There are those out there who would argue that the way to deal with a housing affordability crisis, which we have in Melbourne, is to really step back and allow developers to build as much as they possibly can with as few encumbrances on them so that we can provide enough supply to meet demand and lower housing prices. And in many markets, that logic works very well. What we need to consider, though, is this issue is much more complex than that. And the reality is, when we consider the number of investment properties that are being bought in Melbourne by people who are not choosing it as their primary residence, the number of foreign investment that we have in Melbourne, not that I'm against it or for it, but it's a reality. The reality is that even if we did build a tremendous amount of housing in Melbourne, there would still be those in our community who would absolutely struggle to live in our neighbourhoods. There would be those that would be forced still to the fringes of our city. We would be inadvertently creating a city of haves and have-nots. And what we don't understand is that doesn't just affect those that don't have, that affects everyone. That means key workers have to drive for well over an hour to get to work each day, possibly 2 hours, or take public transport. That has massive effects on their health. We pay for that. We all do. When we consider the fact that if we've been talking at the moment about disability, only 6% of people in Victoria living with disability are entitled to funding for housing. 6%. There are a tremendous amount of people who, because of their disabilities, require access to nearby public transport and require access to incredible amenities, which Caulfield Village has, as do many other places in our municipality. So if we look at this issue broadly, I think we have to take a big step back. And we have to recognise that there is a difference between building lots to drive down prices a little bit and government stepping in to say, I'm sorry, if you are going to get incredible value capture, if you are going to turn a car park into a multi-storey block of flats, you're going to earn a lot of money because of a council or a VCAT decision to allow you to build that. You're going to add to congestion, you're going to add to the use of other amenities in the area, so therefore you must give back. I will be asking for an extension because I can see that on your face.
You sure you want one?
Yes, please.
Offer Councillor Strait a 3-minute extension. I have a mover, Councillor Silver, Councillor Delahunty second. All those in favour, carried unanimously.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I think we actually need to consider, who is this housing for? It's not for the person who can't afford an $800,000 apartment, but if it was $750,000, then they could afford it. What we're talking about is a very small component of large developments potentially being made available for those in more dire circumstances. Being made available, for example, to the one group who is the largest of in need, which would be single women over the age of 55. We have a perception that social and affordable housing means something very dangerous or scary. And as long as we continue to have that perception, we will let developers and the government get away with not acting on this. And then we are going to live in a city where hundreds of thousands of people cannot live in the places they need, and we will pay for it later. So I wanted to correct that. What we're seeking to do here is actually quite important. What we're saying is we need to do some work. When other levels of government fail to provide services to the community, it is up to local government to step in. In this case, I believe the state government has not acted here. They are acting very slowly to mandate that this has to happen for large-scale developments. And because of that, I implore our officers, and I'm glad that our officers are suggesting that this is what we're going to be doing, we're going to spend our time talking to other local councils. We're going to get together and start applying pressure on state government to say, now is the time to take action. If we wait on this, the problem gets worse and we all live in a worse municipality and society. We have to act now. Unfortunately, we didn't get what we wanted before, and the other councillors have spoken about that, but now we can do something about it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Schreiber. Any other councillors wishing to speak on this item? I'm only going to give really a sentence almost, but these are the numbers. So currently we are 180,000 dwellings short of what's required. That means people that we want to house that we can't house because we don't have 180,000 dwellings. Going on to the mid-20s, so by 2025, that number is set to rise to 400,000. 7 years. So it is up to us that are sitting around in this chamber, it's up to those that are sitting in Parliament, whether it be, I know it's a state issue, but I think even federally it needs to be addressed as well, for us to actually put things in place to make sure we have mechanisms that starts delivering on these numbers. Councillor Strait, I said I'll say one sentence, but I'll end up keeping going. Councillor Strait touched on a few important points, and one of the important points were that it will come back to bite you in the backside down the track. The issues that come when there are these types of inequities in your society, it's not something I think that Australia, certainly Victoria, maybe even Melbourne, has really witnessed or been part of. But if it goes down that path, we will. And it isn't pretty. Back to the actual item that we're considering here. From my understanding, there's been, as Councillor Delahunty said, no real will to deliver on some of these on these outcomes. Even when there has been negotiations, I think it's been in bad faith. Moving forward, though, I would like to have a negotiation that may be done in good faith. Whenever you're in a negotiation, you want to get an outcome, though, you actually need two people at the conversation to try to get an outcome. I think this room has always been in that conversation to get a reasonable outcome. And I hope people from the other parties are also willing to come to the table and have a good conversation about this. Councillor Delahunty, would you like to sum up on this item?
Thank you. I certainly endorse the goodwill around the table to have some resolution on the item. We got into some fairly lofty arguments there. It's interesting to hear that we've had some free market economists in recently and that they are young. Much to learn, have they, says old Grasshopper. I think it's interesting, perhaps, the free market argument might work in a pure sales kind of environment where supply and demand are quite easy, I guess, to predict and manipulate. But I think we're all living in the real world where we realise there has been significant market failure in housing affordability, not just in the ability for people to purchase properties, which comes down to, I believe, some federal tax levers that certainly need to be adjusted, but also comes down to people's ability to be able to rent properties, which again speaks to the investment community and the tax levers at a federal level. And so I would say to any free market economists, young that you may be, who may be watching this evening, that you should ask your teacher tomorrow about the recent report from Anglicare Australia and the rental affordability in Australia. They surveyed over 67,000 properties last weekend that were available on the rental market and found that literally none of them were affordable in Victoria if you are a single person on Newstart. Something like 3 of them, there's not 3%, this is not a percentage, this is actual numbers, were affordable if you were a single parent in Victoria. 99% of them were unaffordable for any type of welfare recipient across Australia. We live in an incredibly rich nation. We right here in Glenara live in an incredibly rich municipality. And we seek to protect it sometimes, I think, to the detriment of others around us. And this is the right spot. And it is the right endeavour to provide housing for those who cannot afford to live anywhere else, cannot afford to live in this municipality unless somebody stands up for them. So we will continue to do that. We'll find a different way, but we won't back down. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Delahunty. I'll put this item to a vote. All those in favour?